youngster, longing to roam from the stars. I left my home in the mountain. I broke my poor darling's heart.
Play at my funeral.
What is he singing about the mountains?
Take me back to the mountains.
Didn't know you were a fan of mountains.
So carry me back to the mountains. Back to my home, sweet home.
Wiseman, bashful brother Oswald. Carry me back to the mountains.
Mac Wiseman.
Mac Wiseman.
That's actually a more fascinating name than bashful brother.
Oh, he's still going.
He's shredding.
That too, Mac Wiseman. If I could play that, I believe it's called a dobro, I could be wrong, but if I could play that as well as bashful brother Oswald, you'd never hear another radio show out of me.
Oh, we would. It would just be you playing the dobro.
No, I'd seriously just sit around all day and play that thing.
Right, and you'd record it. That's what we listened to.
I wouldn't even bother.
I see.
I'd play it for my own edification. I'd live in a little shack in the mountains. I'd play that thing all day and just enjoy life. Instead, I gotta watch TNA pay-per-views.
Well, when you put it that way.
Hate to kick a dead dog. Wait. Is that the old saying?
It is now.
Hate to kick the dog when it's down. What do they say? What's the old saying?
I don't know. I'm gonna let you dig yourself out of this hole.
Well, I would hate to kick a dead dog. I'm not gonna lie. But I don't know what the phrase is in regards to, you know.
But I would rather kick a dead dog than watch a TNA pay-per-view.
We got a lot of stuff to talk about today, everybody.
Boy, do we.
We do. We're going to talk about Raw, which was 3 hours long. We're going to do the SmackDown report. We're going to do World of Hurt. I believe I just said World of Heart. World of Hurt.
It is Canadian.
It is Canadian. World of Hurt with Lance Storm. Sadly, there was very little French Stallion on the show, but fear not. We've got a French Stallion interview on the front page right now, which was awesome, I might add. So, yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. I guess if you'd like to give a couple of thoughts on the TNA pay-per-view, you're welcome to do so, but I really don't want to spend a lot of time on it.
Did you tell the story about how I came up here to do the show and you decided you couldn't do it right then?
No, but I was actually, I was in a pissy mood for about 24 hours after that show.
Yeah. The show ended, and all our friends left. We had a ridiculously large crowd for the show, but they all left, and you and I had talked for a long time. Should we do the show tonight or should we just go do it on Tuesday? And after seriously about 10 minutes of discussion, we decided I'll just go upstairs and we'll just do the show and get it over with. And I got up here and I set my computer down and I sat down. And you sat down and you got ready to go and you said, I can't do it right now. You needed time to cool off.
Well, here's part of the thing. It was not the worst pay-per-view I've ever seen, but the deal was I got a lot of stuff I got to do every day. I got a lot of work I have to do every day, and I had to drive to Vancouver and back for the UFC show. So that's at least 5-6 hours in transit, thanks to the border. Not to mention, I drove there and back with Ben Miller, which means it was a 5-hour debate there and back.
Mm.
So, you know, I couldn't get any work done driving. And then I saw the show and had to drive back, couldn't get any work done. And then my birthday party and Whitney's graduation was on Sunday, so that was a good 6 hours out of my day. And most of that day, anyway, prior to that was, you know, I spent my birthday recording Observer Live, and then later I had to do Observer Radio, and I had to watch Slammiversary. So by the time Slammiversary was over, I realized I had a lot of fun this weekend. I had a great time, but I just watched a really bad pay-per-view, and I am now so far behind in work, it's not even funny. And it just made me so angry. It just made me so mad. Plus the idea that, you know, if we review the show with Vinny here first, I'm going to go over all the matches. I'm going to get all pissed off. I'm going to rant and I'm going to rave. I'm going to blow myself up. Then Vinny's going to go. And then I'm going to have to call Dave and I'm going to go over the entire show again. And it was like, I just can't do this. I just can't do this tonight. So I didn't, because it was my birthday. So if you'd like to say a couple of words about the TNA pay-per-view, go ahead. And if you don't want to, I don't care. Because, quite frankly, they don't deserve to have the press 2 days in a row. At least, I'm really upset with TNA of late.
I will just say that if you have not seen the show, or if you didn't hear Brian's review of the show, Bully Ray and AJ Styles had a fucking awesome wrestling match.
Mm-hmm.
That was gold. As much as I will bury this show, and as much as I will bury this company, there was not much that I would have changed about this. Just a great story of the bully trying to prove that the little man was, in fact, not a man, and the little man manning up, and by the end, he had taken everything the bully had to dish out. He fired back, given more than his fair share in return, and completely destroyed the guy, and all was going well, and then they did a fucking dumb finish, which also was the story of this show. When, you know, like I say, AJ had taken everything Bully Ray could give out, and then had fired back with every move he had. Two wacky dives off the stage, both really spectacular. One, the super long distance charge, and the other, the giant bump off the lighting rig. Then as they're getting to their feet, Bubba just puts his foot on AJ's ass and kicks him through a wall. And then Ray stands up and wins. Just yanked the rug out from everything.
Not to mention, when AJ stood up, shouldn't that have stopped the count?
I suppose. Yeah.
This was a company that didn't even know that in a best of three falls match, you're supposed to ring the bell between falls.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But, okay. So, let's say TNA, and I assume this is happening, I haven't read the spoilers, but let's assume this feud is continuing. That's the only thing I can gather. So, they want the feud to continue. So, first of all, they couldn't just have AJ win and Ray come out and complain because he's a heel. Suddenly, wins and losses matter now, after all this time. Second of all, even if you absolutely had to have Bubba Ray win this match, I just saw AJ Styles fall at least 12 to 15 feet. You couldn't just have him get hurt in the dive.
No.
In fact, I swear WWE did that for a finish once, but it was great. So, honestly, it's worth going out of your way to see this match. If one match can make a pay-per-view worth buying, this match was that match. Everything else varied between okay to embarrassingly awful, and I'm concerned Angelina's going to die.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't think I have too much to say. Other than my buddy Jim was over, who has seen TNA less than 5 times in his life, but he had nothing else to do. He came over to watch. And he had a few comments that I liked. My favorite one was just, he had never seen Mr. Anderson before. And after about the third time...
Lucky him!
Yes. And after about the third time, he simply asked, so is this guy's gimmick that he's the most boring man alive? Maybe? That was the show.
That's the show, everybody. If you want the full review, listen to the Sunday episode of the program. And, yeah, there you go. Let's start with SmackDown here. I actually...
Have you watched this yet?
Think about this. Speaking of being in a pissy mood, my Monday consisted of watching 4 hours of SmackDown and 3 hours of Raw.
That does suck.
Yeah. Yeah. Could have been worse. Could have been 5 straight hours of Impact, but...
So you were 2 SmackDowns behind.
I was 2 SmackDowns behind, but I'm caught up now.
Huh. Wow, mm-hmm. that is awful. I only did SmackDown and Raw, though I didn't do them back-to-back. But I suppose if you were watching all that show, you had to do back-to-back, too. SmackDown this week opened... Basically, this is a pretty useless show, except for 2 great Christian promos. Came out to open the show. At the opening of this promo, he was kind of going back and forth, kind of being a tweener. He said some fans liked him, some fans hated him, and then in the middle of this promo, he said that he didn't care what the fans think. He was done talking to them, and he was not going to talk to the peeps anymore, so everyone booed and said, "You suck." So this was the precise moment his heel turn was complete. He called Cole into the ring, talked about how the same fans who were upset when he lost the title were now upset that he had laid out Orton. He didn't understand why Teddy was asking the fans what they wanted instead of giving the people who work for the company what they had deserved. He blamed the fans for choosing Orton to face him in the title defense. And finally, he said, "I'm not talking to the fans anymore. So, Cole, I want you to ask them, do they think I deserve a title match?" Everyone booed. Cole asked them a question. They all booed again louder. And Christian said he was going to win the title for himself, not for the fans. It was a good promo. And then as he walked out, the WWE Facebook address flashed across the screen with the following sentence: "The audience doesn't seem to be taking favorably to Christian's actions. Was Christian justified?"
Yeah.
Hearty lols followed.
I'm not a big fan of the Christian heel turn. I figured they were going to turn him heel, but I thought it would be done better. Like maybe in the pay-per-view match coming up on Sunday.
Yeah.
He finally flips his lid or
yes.
something like that.
And
instead, it was just like, you know, what he did to Orton and Sheamus, it all made sense. He didn't want Sheamus to win the title. He wanted to win the title from Orton.
Mm-hmm.
And then he laid the guy out.
Yeah.
Orton lays people out with RKOs all the time.
All the damn... And punched them in the head.
Yeah.
Instead of a belt shot.
So yeah. It was like, okay, well, you know, maybe not the nicest thing to do, but hey, the guy's passionate, you know?
If you think about it... No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say also that... He's a guy that if you watch the ladder match and you watch the thing with Edge and you watch the whole storyline, he's not a guy that, as Buddy Wayne used to say, when it's time. And it wasn't time to do this heel turn. The fans are not ready to boo Christian.
No.
So they boo him because they're supposed to, but then he sort of doesn't get really much of a reaction at all, and it's just not... They messed this up.
He really, if you think about it, He had to come out and explain to the fans that he had a turned heel last week, because it wasn't clear at the time. That's basically what happened here. Wade Barrett, Heath Slater, and Justin Gabriel versus Ezekiel Jackson and the Usos, who are still employed. Wade and Zeke didn't do anything until the finish, and then they had the heat on, I believe, Jey Uso, one of the Usos. And he made the hot tag to Zeke, and Wade was the legal man when he saw this, and he immediately turned around and tagged out like a coward. That's good. So Slater got in his face. Wade just walked away, and the remaining heels were soon vanquished. It was fun.
This is the worst feud in the world.
Hell, it is. I've given up on that already.
I'm so sick of this feud.
I do feel like Wade has walked out in the core about 16 times.
Well, they finally broke up with him on this show.
I guess.
And it's like, that's the big core breakup?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yes, it was.
Lame.
In a wacky segment where Teddy was placing bets on horse races and then Sheamus walked in and Teddy had to lie. So Sheamus wanted a match with Christian after he said Christian screwed him out of the title the week before. And I know we say this all the time, but it's one of those things where you watch TNA and you realize how many things WWE does right. Between video recaps and when guys are cutting promos almost all the time, they say specifically why they are angry with someone. So he did that here. He wanted a match with Christian. Teddy said no, but he gave him a match with Orton in a no DQ match for no reason instead, but it made Sheamus happy.
I was just wondering if they were going to go anywhere with the horse racing.
Maybe they will. Maybe he'll have massive gambling debts.
Yeah. That's immediately what I thought, but then I thought, oh, seriously, they're going to follow up with this? Not a chance.
It will never be mentioned again. Core had a meeting backstage, and they broke up.
Jilted lovers.
Silly about it. Trent Beretta versus Jinder Mahal. Trent Beretta took the highest backdrop of 2011 so far, and then he went over the top rope, but Kali stared him down, and he froze, and Mahal clobbered him, and won with the full Nelson Slam. I win.
You know, I didn't think this was a win. I don't think, like, when Jinder Mahal, I talked about this before, when he first appeared on the show and, you know, Kali and Ranjan Singh were treating him like he was hot shit and he was cutting promos on Kali and the whole nine yards, he felt like a big shot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now they put him in the ring. He's green. He does one of my mini pet peeves in wrestling. The big guy who he throws a form to the back and then he stands up erect.
Mm.
Then he throws another one. I know that's going to become a drop. I don't give a fuck. You know, throws another one and then he stands straight up with his shoulders. It's just like, oh my fucking God, dude. So he's got work to do. I have nothing. I've no problem with the guy. But he's green, so let him do a bunch of matches on the road before he starts doing matches on TV. Because he was something, point is, he was something special for a while there. Now he's just another green guy.
I see.
Not good.
Speaking of not good, we had a segment with AJ. The new interview geek was trying to interview her. Tamina and Rosa interrupted. They gave her a gift. It was cheese, because she was, quote, a mousy little loser. She called them Lakewell knockoffs. They said she was going to be alone in the ring. Natalya walked up. The heels made a fart joke and walked away. Somebody is being paid money to write these segments.
The one last week was even worse.
Probably. They're horrible.
I'm sure AJ's a nice girl, but she has such intense go-away heat with me. And this isn't even her fault, but if I ever have to hear the announcers go on and on about how she's the girl next door, she's a nerd, she loves Xbox, she loves action movies. Oh my God. That is the worst of WWE right there. Where it's like, okay, we got to come up with some sort of gimmick for this person. And then we got to like repeat it every week on television. So it's like it becomes a cliche about them. And this one is just infuriating. Plus, she just bounces around so much. She's very bouncy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. In a non, like, bouncing boob sort of way. She just jumps a lot.
So then she wrestled. Jumper. She wrestled Tamina. They gave her a Disney Channel reject song for her theme music. It's completely absurd on a pro wrestling show, but it does make her stand out.
Oh, I got more. Speaking of standing out. I seem like I'm just, maybe I'm still in a pissy mood from Sunday, but my dander is up here tonight. Can somebody, for the love of God, teach these fucking people how to run the ropes?
Apparently not.
Please! What do they do down there in Florida? What do they do?
I'm not there.
They don't learn good offense. They don't learn how to sell. They don't really learn how to work. They certainly can't fucking run the ropes. Like, I've mentioned this before. Every single solitary person that comes out of Florida can't run the ropes. The guys that were, like, something before and then they go to Florida, they can run the ropes. So they learned outside of Florida. But the people that, like, go to Florida to learn, to a person, they cannot run the ropes. Drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's not a good school. There's not much hope. So this match was it was bad, but they've had worse. This program is probably worse than the Wade Barrett Zeke Jackson feud. But AJ went for a dive. Tamina caught her in a fireman's carry, and then she stopped to talk shit to Natalya. And then AJ hit her with an elbow and rolled her up for the pin. So the feud continues.
Yeah.
It's still comedy. It's been 3 weeks now that AJ is wrestling and Natalya is talking.
Mm-hmm.
Bad. They recap the Christian Orton deal. Orton came out for a promo. He called out Christian. Christian appeared on the big screen instead. He refused to come down. Orton called him a pussy and dared him to come out. Christian demanded one more title match. Said he could have counted Orton's shoulders down last week, but he didn't want to because he doesn't want to win the title from Sheamus. He wants to win it from Orton. So Orton said, I beat you to win this title. I beat you a few weeks later. I'm ready to beat you again right now. Christian said, no, we're doing things on my terms, and that means you and me for the title of the pay-per-view. Norton said, fine, it doesn't matter when or where, I'm going to beat you like I always do. And Christian said, I'll see you at the pay-per-view, and he got in his car and drove off. Great! This was a great segment.
This was pretty damn good.
This was probably the best thing we'll review on the show, actually. Ted DiBiase and Cody Rhodes did a wacky segment backstage. This duo is bizarre now, because you have Cody Rhodes being completely insane and Ted just being boring. And somehow they hang out together. I guess just because they used to.
I was a huge fan of Dashing, the new Dashing Cody Rhodes, no longer Dashing, with the mask and the whole nine yards, but they have so killed this gimmick.
Oh, God. When he... There's a point here, they were arguing about whatever, and then Cody decided he wanted a paper bag, and so he called his bagger by shouting, "Bagger!" And a bagger walked in. Comedy, everyone. Comedy.
The promos he cuts are just so awful. And yeah. It's not his fault.
His delivery is great. The material sucks.
It's the most just idiotic delivery. And then the bag gimmick, and all the fans love having the bags on their head.
The bag gimmick is a terrible idea that needs to be abandoned right now.
Very down on this program.
There's just no reason for these two human beings to hang out anymore. So it started as Sin Cara versus DiBiase. They wrestled for like 2 minutes. It was good, although there was some blatant editing. But that's why Sin Cara's on SmackDown. Cody interfered almost immediately for the DQ. They beat him up until Daniel Bryan ran out to make the save.
I thought, oh, great! What a great match for the pay-per-view in 2 weeks. Wrong.
Nope, you get it right now. Yes, you get it right now. It was Cody and Ted versus Sin Cara and Daniel Bryan. You would think, okay, Daniel Bryan's awesome, and Sin Cara's best thing is his comebacks. So you would get the heat on Bryan, and they make the hot tag to Sin Cara. And you would be wrong. So Sin Cara had to work the bulk of the match. He mostly did fine, although there was a point where he went for a rolling armbar that would have been really awesome in the middle of the ring, but instead he and DiBiase tumbled into the ropes like geeks. Bryan got the hot tag and ran wild. That was good. And Sin Cara took out Cody with a tope, and Bryan went for a dive. DiBiase caught him, but he caught him in such a way that Bryan hooked a guillotine and then turned that into the label lock for the win. It was fun, although honestly I was expecting a lot better.
I was as well. It was all right, but a letdown.
It was, yeah. I had high hopes, and they were not met. Johnny Curtis appeared.
This was an example where I go on the board, and granted it's about three people, but they're on and on. Oh, Brian watches World of Hurt, but he doesn't watch NXT.
Yeah.
Why doesn't Brian watch NXT? What a great show. Then we have Johnny Curtis here. Yes, last week he poured milk on himself after crying over it. This week he had a potato chip on his shoulder. Both segments sucked!
I actually like better when he explained that he won the last season of NXT months ago, but has only appeared on TV twice since then.
Yeah.
That is exactly what he said. And what that is telling everyone is, don't waste your time watching NXT.
Yes.
Because even the winner will disappear.
It's pointless.
It is shit. Speaking of shit, more shit with Obama. Sucked. Probably the same one. I skipped it. Stryker was interviewing Orton. Actually, this is just a pointless little promo. It sucked. Sheamus and Orton. It was. He had nothing to say. Sheamus wrestled Orton in a no DQ non-title match. These two fuckers beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
I cannot believe the damage they were taking for a completely forgettable SmackDown main event. No one will remember this in a month, but they want people to. They threw each other into stuff. They hit each other hard. They used a stick. They brought steps into the ring. Sheamus got power slammed onto them at a bad angle. It looked like it sucked bad. So they're having this great match, and what the hell happened here? Christian ran in. Orton was prepped for the RKO. Christian ran in behind him, went for the kill switch. But Orton reversed it and was about to RKO Christian, but he fled. Sheamus then clobbered Orton from behind. Orton escaped both of his finishers and he hit the RKO, but then Christian reappeared and laid out Orton with the title belt. And Sheamus dragged himself across Orton's dead body and pinned him for the win. So, fun match. And it makes sense that Christian would interfere, but just giving Sheamus the win, does that mean there's going to be a three-way at some point?
What that means is on SmackDown this week, they're doing Christian versus Sheamus where the winner gets the title shot.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
On the go-home show.
Yeah.
On the go-home show, the main
Why
event
not,
is in doubt.
Why not, everybody?
Who cares?
Why not?
Yeah, so the main event was fun. The two Christian promos were really good. Not much else to see.
No, I watched 4 hours of SmackDown, and I thought, man, I'm being a, I'm doing my job here. I'm watching these shows. And when it was over, I was like, I didn't need to do that. I missed literally nothing in 2 weeks.
Pretty much, yeah.
Literally nothing. I missed not... Well, I guess the Christian Sheamus, or the Orton Sheamus match was all right. There was a couple of good things here and there, but I mean, realistically, did I miss anything by missing the last 2 weeks? The answer is no.
No.
Let's play a quick song, and I guess out of respect for Zack Ryder, who's not on Raw.
Oh, radio, tell me everything you know.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. No.
I just look at him. Okay, that's the woo-woo guy. What the fuck is his name?
Are you serious, bro? I'm the man around here.
How do I know? The radio told me.
I'm charismatic. I'm athletic. I'm good-looking. And I've got a killer sense of style.
These ladies want an original. Excuse me, shades? Rob. Lady Gaga, come on. Just dance. Let's do it.
I've got the skills. I've got the hair. I've got the look. How can that? Woo, woo, woo. No.
The woo-woo guy. What the fuck is his name? What the fuck is his name? What the fuck is his name?
What is your deal, bro? Are you mad because I'm way more entertaining than you? But more importantly, what's up, baby girl? I love you. XOXO.
You've been Zach tested. Ryder approved.
You don't want to make me mad. I could double your Twitter followers in a day if I wanted to. I'd rather be homeless living in the United States than to live in a mansion eating moose meat here in Canada. But, bro, can you even land on the moon? The radio told me that was all set up.
What exactly does woo 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 mean? Well, wouldn't you like to know it? How can
that be? I just look at it. What the fuck is his name?
Woo woo woo. You know it.
The woo woo guy.
Woo woo woo. You know it.
The woo woo guy.
Woo woo. Wait, wait.
Well, hi, Zack Ryder.
I just cannot remember
Tiffany.
Zack Ryder's name.
Zack Ryder.
Oh, yeah. I apologize to the woo woo guy.
You know it.
Long Island IZ 2010.
I miss Tiffany.
Zack Ryder. Hey, I know his name now. God damn do I know his name.
It only took a year.
It only took a year, but I know his name. This poor bastard.
Yeah.
Learning the lesson.
Really?
Yeah, well, what the hell can the guy do?
Yeah, I'm wondering what lesson he's learned. Don't try?
Yeah, that's a lesson he should learn.
All right.
Well, I shouldn't even say that. You know, I'll say this about Zack Ryder. You know, I mentioned this like months ago, that Zack getting over on YouTube is not good for his WWE career.
I see.
Okay? I said that, didn't I?
Probably.
I made that very clear in a daily update. Because people were they wanted to do, like, you know, I think they said they wanted to spam, like, the WWE Facebook page or something like that. And I was just like, don't do that. This is not going to help. Because, as we mentioned a million times, WWE will talk and talk and talk about how you got to get yourself over. You got to get yourself over. You got to take the ball and run with it. They really want you to do that. They want you to get yourself over with shit that they create for you. If you get yourself over on your own without any help from WWE, bad. Now, maybe before I would have said, Zach, don't try. Just don't try. Just lay low, be quiet, get your paycheck. Maybe one of these days they'll move you on to Raw in a jobber position before they release you. It might have been what I said back in the day. Now, you know what? Just fucking go for it. You know, get like a million Twitter followers and go nuts on YouTube and get yourself over the best you can. Maybe you'll get people chanting your name at events. It's going to fuck you in the end. But you know what? At least after you get released, you are going to understand how to get yourself over in another line of work. I realize that this sounds horrible what I'm saying right now. But really, what the fuck can the guy do? Nothing. There's nothing that he can do. He's fucked no matter what he does. You know?
Yeah.
He can either lay low and be quiet and cause no trouble, and they'll probably forget about him and release him. Or he can try to get himself over, which will probably end up pissing him off. They won't put him on a show in Long Island, and he'll eventually get cut anyway. You may as well get practice getting yourself over now. Who knows? Maybe he'll go for a job somewhere and he'll show someone his 8 million people on YouTube or wherever. They'll go, Jesus, we need this guy helping us. Maybe he'll get a job in social media somewhere. I don't know. People are going to listen to this and go, man, what an asshole Brian is, you know? But I'm seriously, literally trying to help right here. Because I firmly believe the guy is fucked no matter what he does. He's damned if he does and he's damned if he doesn't. So you may as well go all the fuck out, you know? Like, is there any... I'm trying to think. Is there anything Zach can do right now that's going to get him higher on the card on Raw?
Clearly not.
I mean, realistically, is there anything?
No.
No. You know, he's trapped. He's trapped in a terrible spot. So you know what? Just get yourself over. Get yourself over. It's going to piss him off, and you'll probably get released in the end, but you may as well get yourself over before they get rid of you. Because the other option is to not get yourself over, and they'll probably get rid of you at some point anyway.
Right. Because, as you noted, he is fucked.
Yeah. So, hey, go for it. You know? Maybe Facebook will hire you. Who knows? Or YouTube. I don't know. It just sucks for all these guys.
It
not
does.
Not just Zack Ryder. What a miserable place to work. It's a miserable place to work.
And it's all they've got.
Let's talk about Raw.
Raw was long.
See, it's 3 hours next week, too.
Miz came out, rambled on about himself and Austin until Austin arrived. Thank God, because breaking news, Steve Austin cuts better promos than The Miz.
Cuts better promos than everybody.
He just does. So it's awesome he was out there.
You know, people are going to disagree with me, but I'm going to say this. Steve Austin cuts better promos than The Rock. I'll tell you why. Because Rock's got, like, he's got great promos, and they're hilarious, and they're funny, and people chant along, and he's a I mean, as far as, like, pure charisma, Rock, you know, obliterates Steve Austin. But Steve Austin is a guy that he's got spinal stenosis, he's got a bad neck, he's old.
Triple fusion, I think.
He's never done, like, you know, he was never like an NCAA champion or even really anything at all. You know, he was never an MMA fighter. He was never a boxer. He was never did any sort of combat sports. But Steve Austin can look a guy in the eye and cut a promo on him, and you firmly believe he'd whip that guy's ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That is true.
And I don't know anybody else like that.
Not anymore.
No one has, actually, I guess probably, well, that's different because, you know, when Kurt Angle gives some guy the eye and says, I'll beat the fuck out of you, you know, you're like, okay, yeah, you're right. But he was an Olympic gold medalist, you know?
Austin is faking it.
Yeah, Austin is faking it, but he's so goddamn fucking great that you believe it.
Right.
Rock doesn't even really have that because you look at Rock and you're like, okay, yeah, he beat my ass, you know? He's a giant Samoan who
was a great athlete for
young
his size.
And
yes.
Not broken down. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you get that guy mad and you know, you need a pair of goggles and run for your life.
Austin's a bald redneck with an occasional beer gut.
Yeah.
But he makes you believe he would kill everyone.
He when he cut that promo on Miz, it was like, okay, you know, guy's old, guy's got a bad neck, guy shouldn't ever take a single bump again. You know, Miz is young. About all I can say, but seriously.
There are better guys to make this argument than Miz,
sure.
But your point is still there.
But I thought, you know, one-on-one fight, Austin would kick this guy's ass 6 ways from Sunday.
He would eat his lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So, the end result of all of this is that...
And that's what wrestling is, by the way. That's what cutting a promo is all about.
Yeah.
Convince people you're going to beat a guy's ass no matter whether you're real or not. Go on.
The end result of all this was that Steve Austin, the retired wrestler, was the man, and Miz, the very recent WWE champion, was a coward who backed away from the retired man with a bad neck.
I can't even rant about the positioning of Miz anymore. Number one, I've ranted myself out. And number two, like, at this point, you know, by the end of this show, when Roddy Piper pinned Miz after Alex Riley's,
yeah.
It's just like, okay, you know.
Has there ever been a guy who has gone, whose star has fallen so quickly? Who is that high and is now falling this low in a month?
I've said it before. I firmly believe this. He was so much more over before he won the title than after.
Than now, certainly.
And I can't even get mad at it anymore because it's kind of like the Zack Ryder thing. It's past the point of no return. No hope for Miz.
It's what they do.
So he should just go out there and cut the best promos he can and do the best job he can. And he's done for.
And save your money.
Yeah, save your money. Make as much as you can right now.
Yeah, so he left. Austin was about to rant more when Alberto came out. He wanted Austin to officially pass the torch to himself. Austin said no and booked him against Kane. It did a cheap DQ in like 3 minutes because Alberto would not break a hold when Kane had the ropes. Fine way to open Raw. just really set the mood. So then,
what a stupid finish.
And there was more. Big Show returned to make the save. Charged down to the ring. An angry giant. He attacked them both. Alberto
left. How come am I the only person in the world that noticed how fast this man ran?
Honestly, you may have been.
You've got to be kidding me.
Well, here's this. By the time I noticed he was there, he was already in the ring.
I mean,
he ran so fast I couldn't see him.
You could get in your car, and I think the Big Show would have ran faster.
Well, he's certainly faster than me, yes.
Think about that, though, Vinny. The fact that he's even faster than you.
I'm a very slow man.
Here's a 40-year-old man that weighs like 500 pounds.
Yeah, faster than me. I'll readily admit this. I am slow.
Amazing. I was amazed at his speed.
So he tore into Alberto and Ricardo. Alberto fled and left his lackey to die, and Big Show looked quite content to murder Ricardo. Kane had to pull Big Show off, including putting a choke sleeper on him to get him off the man and stop him from murdering somebody. And that's what Kane said. If you kill him, forget exactly what he said, but you won't get a chance to kill Alberto later. So Steve Austin, the GM for the night, booked Big Show versus Alberto for the pay-per-view. He can do that.
I really think that, well, he's guest GM for the night, so he can do whatever
he
wants.
He's guest GM for tonight.
I really think that in like 15 years, I'll still remember the visual of Big Show tearing down of the ring.
Maybe I'll YouTube that someday.
You need to go back and look at it. I never saw a man run so fast at that size. Like, I swear to God, at that size, I've never seen a man move like that.
I guarantee you that's true.
Yeah. It's amazing.
We had a six man, DiBiase, Rhodes, and Wade Barrett against Sin Cara, Daniel Bryan, and Zeke.
Daniel Bryson?
Is that what I said? Daniel, Bryan, Sin Cara, and Zeke. So, out of all these men, Zeke got the hot tag, which made me laugh. And then he realized, well, that's better than getting the heat on him. So he did his comeback. A bunch of stuff happened. Sin Cara pinned Wade Barrett with a body press. And this was supposed to build to Wade Barrett defending against Zeke at the pay-per-view. I don't understand.
I've long since given up on trying to figure this shit out.
The match, as my notes here read, completely forgettable, and in fact, I have forgotten about it less than 24 hours after watching it. Hornswoggle was shooting t-shirts in the crowd when Truth came out. Hornswoggle shot him with a t-shirt. Truth no-sold it, booted him in the face. That was funny. So Austin appeared on the screen, told Truth to pick on someone his own size. It was John Morrison. This terrified me. I thought he was going to make his return way too early. Thankfully, he did not. Sheamus wrestled Santino. This is where the We Want Ryder chants were first appeared on Raw, or at least they were their loudest. So they had a match. Santino hit the Cobra, and I was going to explode, and then thank God Sheamus kicked out at one. That made me so happy. And then he applied the Cloverleaf submission for the win, and I thought to myself, why, in 2 years of this company, has no one thought that he should use this move before, including myself? I'm mad at myself for not thinking of this. The Cloverleaf.
Great move for this this Irishman.
In name and the actual move itself. It's a submission hold this guy can apply on anyone. Great. We had an Orton promo that was almost exactly the promo we cut on SmackDown. He called out Christian. Christian showed up on the monitor. They jibber-jabbered for a while. Orton dared him to come out to the ring. Christian didn't. This time he teased it at least, but they changed his mind. Orton went up to get him. Security broke him apart. The GM dinged in, said Orton had a concussion and would be out until Sunday, when, I believe this is the quote, all indications are you will be wrestling on Sunday. So Orton left.
Actually, he really did get
apparently
a concussion.
Legit has a concussion, and all indications are.
All indications are you may not work on Sunday.
We'll see. So he left. Austin booked Christian against Rey Mysterio. And for the second time in this show, a man was disqualified for not breaking on five. They're not even trying anymore. Punk and Nexus ran out. Apparently, Punk and Ray are having a match at the pay-per-view. I'd completely forgotten this. And they beat Ray up about 5-on-1. He fought them off for a while, but eventually they caught him. And Mason Ryan threw him into a post. Christian had a kill switch on him, and that was that. Austin had a meeting with Vicky and Dolph. Vicky wanted Dolph to have a title match against Kofi on Sunday.
So little things that Austin does that are so awesome. When he's on the phone and he's chit-chatting and she says, excuse me, and he says, I'm on the phone. And then she screams, excuse me, the fucking look on his face. It's like comedy gold.
His comedy is awesome.
Yes.
Very underrated, honestly.
It is.
So, she wanted Dolph to have a title match against Kofi. Austin said, fine if you drop Vicky. So she said he would never do that, and Dolph hemmed and hawed, and finally he agreed to dump his woman for the title shot. This outraged Vicky, and then Austin said, I'm just kidding. You got your title match already. And he walked out. That was funny.
It's fine.
It was a fine way to book a match I have seen 700 times. Truth and Morrison. Thankfully, Morrison did not make his return from injury too early, unannounced with no build. His music played. He did not come out. Truth went to get him, where it was revealed that he had already been laid out, and Truth shoved a box into him. That's fine.
Yeah, we'll see if it's fine. I don't know. Nobody knew today, but you know, I as soon as I saw it, I thought, oh, he's in real bad shape.
Morrison?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
And, you know, I have not heard otherwise, but that angle, not only the attack and the neck, but then ramming the thing into him, that was like, okay, we're expecting him out like a year or significantly longer.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see. Of course, I thought that when they ran over Big Show, they spent so much fucking time on it, I thought he needed knee surgery, and he's fine.
Back to...
He's sprinting.
3 weeks later?
He's sprinting 3 weeks later.
Faster than ever before.
Yeah.
He's better.
He needs to thank them for hitting him with the car, apparently.
Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger versus Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne. In a three-hour show, these men cannot get 2 minutes for a tag match. Swagger got pinned after kicking a shooting star. Who fucking cares? Piper came out. He talked about fighting Mr. T at WrestleMania 2 in this building. Miz interrupted, said he was tired of hearing he was the next Roddy Piper.
I wonder if they really just played Miz's music because Piper was just like... bumbling on.
Well, he was not out there very long.
This was not Piper's best.
He may have
best.
Gone completely off script.
It was not his best.
That's possible. Because, he went for maybe a minute before Miz came out there. Probably a lot less than that, actually. So, anyway, Miz said that he had won the championship and he had won at WrestleMania and the real world was better than they live. To which Roddy Piper replied, I never saw the show. I was busy living in the real world. Yeah. I found that quote fascinating.
That's a good one.
So, Riley came out. There were, and we talked about the Zack Ryder chants. The ridiculously loud Alex Riley chants here.
Yeah.
I just flabbergasted me. It's been a month. It's been 1 month.
This is what happens when you take a new guy... and you turn him babyface, and you have him beat up and humiliate a star every week, mm-hmm. over and over, and you don't pull the rug out from underneath them.
Yeah.
Which, inevitably, they'll do within the next 3 weeks without fail.
I mean, it reinforces that it still works when they want to.
Well, all of this shit, that's the thing that people, sometimes people, I'll talk about Ohio Valley, or I'll talk about some simple booking concept, and people will be like, oh, Brian, it's 2011. That shit won't work now. You've got to do this, or you've got to... It won't work. You can't do that anymore. And it's like, yeah, it does work. You know? Why the fuck did Karma get over? Because she came in and she just beat someone up every week, for fuck's sake. Mm-hmm. Why is Alex Riley getting over? Because he comes out every week, and he just humiliates a heel, a top star, over and over and over. The top star never gets his heat back. It's probably going to be a while before that happens, and guys, get over. This shit will work for fucking ever. It will work forever!
So Riley and Miz bickered about who dumped who. Riley said Piper could meet Miz. Miz said he had $1,000 and said Piper couldn't do it. Piper tried to get him to pony up $5,000. Austin appeared again, and he decided for himself that each guy was putting up $5,000.
Yeah.
Thought that was kind of a dick move. Piper didn't put his money up. But he also made Riley the special ref, so had a match. It went like a minute. Riley was the ref. He was openly brawling with Miz. Then Piper rolled him up and pinned him. And then
actually, Miz hit him first.
That's fine. Miz got pinned by Piper, and then Alex Riley beat him up again.
Well, actually, that's key, Vinny, because in fact, even though it is 2011, basic human psychology still works. If they had put Riley as the special guest referee, and Riley just attacked Miz...
I see.
It is, in fact, 2-on-1, and the guy looks like a dick. Instead, he was in there, he was, in fact, calling it down the middle, the heel, like a complete jackass, punched him, and so he fired up and fought back and defended himself, and then counted the pin for this geek. So it's, you know, this shit still has to be done right. Which is just... TNA is so far gone. And WWE, like a quarter of the time is so far gone. But every now and then they do it right, you know? Why would someone, I'm sure, back there just said, no, why would Riley just punch Miz? Oh, well, Miz has got to hit him first. Oh, okay, there you go. Because that fucking makes sense.
What did not make sense was a 14-woman Divas match. They just had all the girls out there for a minute. They did so little that Natalya did not even bother to take her ring jacket off.
Yeah.
Kelly pinned Rose with a Fame-Aster. It sucked. Then Eve said they were going to do a tribute to Broadway.
They should call it the Infame-Aster when Kelly does it.
What?
She's not famous, Vinny. She's infamous.
I see. Yes. Like a Wapo. Or like Three Amigos. Anyway. Eve decided they were going to do a tribute to Broadway. They did the Rockettes chorus line for no reason. All I could think was Beth was at the end of the line looking around like, what the fuck am I doing here? And I was praying she would turn and lay out the other half dozen girls, but she did not.
Like headbutt the first one and then they'd fall down one at a time. Like
that would have been awesome.
Swinging
yes.
balls.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
Or just line up like bowling pins to take them out at one shot. Either one. But
or wait, no. She'd have to headbutt the first one and the last one would take a bump.
That's fine. None of this happened. All of this would have been better than her dancing. So,
their dancing was fucking better than Caitlyn's.
Well, I'm not knocking her dancing of it in and of itself. I'm saying that, you know, with Karma gone, she's the big scary one now.
She's gonna have to hang out for 8 months, Vinny, or 9 months till Karma returns.
Sad state of affairs. Austin was talking to Andy backstage.
Andy, yes.
CM Punk interrupted. Made me laugh because Austin was trying to talk to Punk and all Punk would say was, what? I laughed a lot of that. So he thanked Austin for booking him against Cena tonight. Austin said Nexus was banned. Punk was fine with this. Austin called him a punk and walked out. This is great.
That actually was awesome.
CM Punk and Steve Austin are a fine combo. Also, I forgot to mention Austin offered Punk a beer.
The best part was when he offered him the beer. And Punk said, can I get a breathalyzer in here? He said, you appear to be inebriated. Can you say the alphabet backwards? And Austin said, I'll kick your ass backwards.
Yes.
I believed him.
So Austin came out and hit the ring, and it appeared like he had no idea what he was going to say. He was just killing time until the GM or the general manager sent an email. So that's what happened. General manager sent an email.
Well, I made one announcement. Kind of a big one.
Not until after the GM dinged.
Oh, I see.
The GM dinged, but Austin would not let Michael Cole answer the machine, answer the email. Austin said he would not be the GM next week, but it would also be a 3-hour show, and it would be all about the power of the people. So presumably a Cyber Sunday type deal. And then Austin poured beer on the laptop. Yeehaw. CM Punk versus John Cena. This match featured stupid, loud dueling chants. These fans were so passionate about... I couldn't tell if they were chanting Cena sucks or CM Punk. They sound pretty similar when chanted by several thousand people. But either way, they were into it. Also, a little bit of We Want Ryder. So, it was not their best match. They just...
You don't say.
Yeah.
It's fine.
The highlight to me was CM Punk did a tribute to Macho Man. He did the axe handle to the floor. And in the process... When CM Punk does it, it really made you realize how talented Macho Man was. His looked better.
Macho Man actually jumped off the post.
Macho Man, he may have actually flown. CM Punk sort of fell.
He kind of fell off. He tried.
He went from high to low.
He tried.
Yes. So Cena was going through his comeback. Truth interrupted. Tees spitting water on a kid. John Cena reacted like he was going to spit fire on the young man. This let Punk hit the GTS on Cena and pin him. Again, this sets up Cena versus Truth. How? And then Truth laid out Cena for good measure. And that was the go-home show for the pay-per-view. And R-Truth goes into his title match on the pay-per-view with, I believe, a one-match winning streak over Rey Mysterio.
Well, they had a couple of wins over John Cena.
Like the count-out?
A count-out, for example.
Yes. Oh, and then the reverse decision in a tag match. I remember that one now as well.
I love that they work so fucking hard to convince us that wins and losses don't matter. And then they do a finish where the only fucking way anyone would ever care about it is if wins and losses mattered.
Yeah. They've had a month to do this, but they had 3 more hours to convince me that Truth had a prayer in hell of beating John Cena, and they failed. And by the way, if Truth does beat John Cena, it will now seem totally illegitimate and a fluke and pointless. So there's no possible positive outcome for the pay-per-view now.
I'm convinced after the interview with the French Stallion today that he knows more about the wrestling business than everyone in WWE put together.
After reviewing that show,
be fat!
Well, there's that.
Girls are not made for this business.
And that's...
He did explain somewhat what he meant about that.
I assume he meant that their body's not meant to take the punishment?
Well, he basically just said, girls on the indie scene are just worthless.
Oh.
You know, they don't look as good as divas. They can't work. They bring down the whole show. He goes, girls in WWE are fine. They're good looking. They can work.
Well, calls it like he sees it then.
The man calls it like he sees it.
No bullshit from the French Stallion.
The interview with the French Stallion is one of many things you can hear on the website, as long as you subscribe. If you're a freeloader, too bad. We're not going to do shoutouts today because I don't have any. Although the last time I said that, I had about 20 that for some reason they just didn't show up in my email. So that may have happened here again. But anyway, if you sign up, you get a free shout out. You just send it to me, Brian@WrestlingObserver.com. I'll make sure you signed up before I read it here on the air. But yeah, it's $10.99 a month. If you love this show and you only get to hear this one time, actually once every 2 weeks, because we alternate this show with Wrestling Observer Radio. If you love the Brian and Vinny show and you only get twice a month, good God almighty, it sucks to be you. We do at least 8 shows a month, sometimes more. Some months with 5 weeks, we would do 10 shows in a month. You're getting one every 2 weeks, so two a month. Sign up. Not only do you get every single brand new Brian and Vinny show that we do, of which there are, as noted, an abundance, but you can go into the archives and get every Brian and Vinny show that we have done dating back to 2005. It has been 6 years. We just passed the 6-year anniversary of this website. And every show we've ever done is in the archive. Thousands of shows. Not just the Brian and Vinny show. We do Figure Four Daily. As noted, the French Stallion was on Figure Four Daily yesterday. Interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling are available in our archives. Bruno Sammartino, Mick Foley, Chris Jericho, Stone Cold Steve Austin was on the show. Tomorrow, live from Tampa, Florida, Big Dave Batista is going to be on the show, talking about his new Gracie Fighter gym.
I hope your first question is, what are you wearing?
Oh, I'll ask him about his attire. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. But you can't hear this if you're a freeloader. So, all I have to say, I will just conclude my plug with this. If you love this show and you love Wrestling Observer Radio that you hear every other week, if you're a freeloader and you're listening to this and you love this show, I promise that if you sign up for $10.95 a month and you start listening to all of the shows that are available that you cannot normally hear, I guarantee that you will love it. I guarantee it. If you love this show, I promise you, I guarantee that you will love it if you sign up. So take my word for it. Sign up today. If you don't like it, it's only a month. You can cancel afterwards, but you won't. I promise you will not. So give it a shot. Let me know if I'm wrong. And there you go. Let's conclude today, speaking of the French Stallion, with World of Hurt. This is the... it's available in Canada for one of our many Canadian listeners. It is on The Cave. It is a Landstorm reality show. At some point, I'm sure they'll put out DVDs. Some point, I'm sure they'll show up on YouTube or something like that, maybe on the World of Hurt website. But the show is, it's something else. A wacky cast of characters. This week, Dylan Knight. And guess who was back? Irina
was back.
Oh, my God.
So, yes, the preview of this episode, they always do the This Week on World of Hurt deal. And they edited it to make it look like Lance and Dylan Knight were having an argument. And in the middle of this argument, like mid-sentence, Lance could take no more and hauled off and super kicked Dylan Knight in the face.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Sadly, that did not actually happen.
It was disappointing, I won't lie.
So, Lance was talking about how important it was to stand out and make yourself remembered. Dylan came in, showing up to for morning warm-up. He started doing bench press and started putting more weight on there and more weight, and finally it just became a contest to see how much weight he could do, and everyone was gathered around to watch him. He got up to 485 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
That's a strong man.
By the way, if you do sign up, if you are a subscriber, Lance Storm is on this show every other week, and you can get all of the inside scoops about this program, such as the fact that when they claim that they get there at 6 o'clock a.m., that is bullshit!
Yes.
They don't get there that early. And the fact that this weightlifting contest was, in fact, impromptu. It was not something the producers decided to tell everybody to do. Dylan Knight just showed up and decided he was going to bench as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Which he did.
So as he was benching, they showed everyone talking about him. The highlight is Tennille. He mentioned something about, look what I'm doing or whatever. And then it cuts to her talking about him. And this show is the best graphics I've ever seen.
Yes.
And in this case, it said Taylor, I think her last name. Tennille Taylor or whatever.
Taylor.
Then at the bottom it says Dylan Knight's roommate. And roommate was in quotes.
Yeah.
Awesome. Tennille's just talking about how they have a very unique relationship. This, to me, I took it to mean she hates him, but she can't stop fucking him.
I don't know what their relationship is, but if that's it, I'm actually surprised on this show they didn't just write, Dylan's fuck buddy.
Dylan's friend with benefits.
Sure.
So, let's see. They did a drill where everyone paired off and did a 5-minute match with no prep. And Dylan worked with Carlo, who is also an Australian. And they had a very good 5-minute match. Looked a little snug to me, but then I'm a pussy. And as they're doing this match, Irina's slagging Dylan, said he was something along the lines of he's a generic indie guy.
Yeah.
This was a lie. Either a lie or she just has no fucking idea what she's talking about. Because 500-pound bench pressers with attitude and ponytails do not grow on trees.
We don't have any of those in
There's not a single guy like this in Tulalip. So,
and it was quite ironic that Irina, of all people, said that.
As we will discuss. So, they bickered for a while. Dylan's ultimate point was that he had 5 more years in the business than she did, and she should respect him more.
Which is a fair statement.
That's not invalid. So, at lunch, Irina announced she was leaving the school for 2 days to try out for, quote, a major pro wrestling company.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else had turned the tryout down to stay at school. Dylan was upset she was leaving, said she was wasting her time and she wasn't ready. She wouldn't listen to him, so Dylan wanted Lance to chew her out. He approached Lance and basically tried to get Lance to chew her out, and Lance said he respected Dylan's commitment to the school and his decision to pass up on the tryout, but said if someone else makes that decision, a different decision for themselves, you can't really dwell on it, you just have to move on and take care of yourself. So basically Lance refused to say anything to Irina.
I don't know if it'll be revealed at the end that this happened, but the best thing about this is she decides to go to do the tryout, and I mean Lance can clear this up, but I'm almost positive this would have been the WWE 2-day tryout camp, and Dylan is just going nuts. You know, you suck. You don't deserve to be in this business. You're no good. There's nothing special about you. I hate this woman. Blah blah blah. I mean, he's pitching a fit. He's complaining to everybody about how stupid she is and what a waste of time it is. He goes to Lance to tell him how stupid it is and what a big waste of time it is. In the end, she signed with WWE.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But if that comes out on this show, it must not have. Because they would have... I mean, they taped all these things and they created the episodes out of them. So I would presume that if it came out, they would have mentioned it on the show and just had Dylan just flipping his fucking lid and lava coming out of his ears. Maybe yes. They do. I don't know. But that was quite the deal there.
So they did what was called a mat wrestling drill in which Dylan Knight delivered a long series of forearms and elbows and then a big spine buster.
That doesn't sound like mat wrestling to me.
I'm not sure. Perhaps there was an error in the editing somewhere.
If Lance ever put me in the ring with Dylan Knight and said, you guys are going to do mat wrestling, I'd hope this didn't happen.
Yes, it would hurt. So Lance had heard about Dylan's bench pressing exhibition. Decided this would be a good time to give the crew an anti-drug lecture. So he wasn't accusing anyone of anything, but he knew 30-some guys who had dropped dead with an enlarged heart. He reminded them all that it was important to train the right way. And after this talk warning people about the possibilities of an early death, the camera zoomed in on Dylan Knight and the French Stallion, and they looked very nervous.
It was mostly Dylan. His eyes are like, you know, he's looking down, and then... Actually, it was everyone else was kind of looking at him, and, you know, I can't even... This was like... There are certain shows where the French Stallion is just talking shit right and left. And I don't think that French Stallion said a single word on this show. This was a show where he was just stone-faced throughout. And so you could really read whatever he wanted into his face. You know what I mean?
Sure.
He was just completely stone-faced here. You know, he could have been thinking, Lance calling out Dylan Knight. Or he could have been thinking, I hope Lance isn't talking about me. But regardless, there were a couple of other shots on this show where the French Stallion not saying anything is goddamn near as funny as him talking.
Yes.
Because you're just you know that he's appalled, and you can only imagine what he must be thinking.
He says 1,000 words with his face alone.
Yes.
So after that, Dylan talked with Carlo, asked if Lance was accusing him of anything, and Carlo said, "Don't worry about it." So then it was live event night. And as it turns out, Irina was back. It went great, she said. They loved me. This made Dylan even more angry. And he was upset that she had walked away and was allowed to just walk back in. So, both these people are Australians, like half this group. And during Irina's match, the crowd started chanting Aussie, Aussie, Aussie at her. And this enraged Dylan. He thought she was stealing his gimmick. The funny thing was, it looked to me like she didn't do anything at all. The crowd just started singing it on their own. Perhaps I'm wrong. But he was pissed off when she came back through the curtain. He was so enraged, he shook his boomerang at her. Not a metaphor, an actual boomerang. And so he had his match with Carlo. It looked totally fine, but if Dylan fails to make it as a big star, I'm saying reason number 1A is his enormous tramp stamp. That's a terrible tattoo.
Yeah.
Had a good match, but it's true that when Dylan went Aussie, Aussie, Aussie at the crowd, they didn't really care. So they went backstage and they bitched at Irina some more. Then it was time for the evaluation.
Dylan, this was disappointing. Lance came in and the first thing he said was, you know why you're not going to make it? Or you know why you haven't made it
yet?
You
know the one reason you haven't made it yet?
You know the one reason you haven't made it yet? Or no. I think he says, you know why you haven't made it yet? And then he goes, the one reason.
I see.
They took out the one reason part.
I see.
Yeah. And then after he gave the evaluation, he didn't say, if you do that, you'll fucking make money. I think that's his line. I should know these by heart by now.
I think it's, you'll make fucking money.
Yeah. They took that out.
Yeah. For Dylan.
Poor Dylan Knight.
Yeah, so apparently he will not make any fucking money. But it was great because there's a lot of this show that people are getting over for the camera, or perhaps you think, I suspect the producers may have prodded this incident or encouraged this person to say this thing or act this way. And there was a moment here where Lance had a completely unscripted, true, honest moment because he told Dylan that his crowd interaction was a little phony and over the top, and it came off forced and unrealistic. And Dylan tried to blame this on Irina stealing his act. And Lance, in almost his exact words, said to shut up and quit whining. He's much nicer about it, but he said Dylan was too good to worry about what Irina was doing, that if someone had stolen his act, he just would have gone out and done the same thing but done it better. So that was a hell of a lesson right there.
Yeah.
And that was that. A fun show.
Yeah, it was a fun show, and Dylan should make it somewhere someday.
He is big, he has a good look, and from what little we saw, he looked pretty damn talented.
You know,
He's not a generic indie guy.
We can talk to Lance about this, but I actually didn't think that Lance was talking to Dylan when he gave the drug speech, because, like, I don't know. I mean, I've been wrong before. But when I look at Dylan, he doesn't look like he has that big juiced up body. Right. He's just a big fucking strong ass motherfucker.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Know, he benched a lot of weight and that sort of thing, but he doesn't have like the giant traps and the huge shoulders and you know, maybe it's on something. I don't have any idea.
You know,
but the point is, Lance does this speech, I'm pretty sure, like, in every single session without fail.
Oh, probably. Yeah, I mean, definitely.
And, hey, you know, if you need something to lead you into giving this speech, guys having a strength contest, a bench-pressing contest, it's a good reason as any. You know, he's got to bring it up somewhere. And you know, let's just say that you know, you and somebody else were in the ring, and when you got out, I decided I'm going to give the speech. Obviously, everyone's going to presume I'm talking about the other guy.
Sure.
So, you know, it just has to be said somewhere, and this was as good a place as any. Don't do drugs, kids.
No, they're bad for you.
Don't be one of the people Lance...
Yes, they make you die. Oh. Save the show. Right now. The flies just flickered, everybody.
My heart.
That would have sucked.
What the fuck's happening?
I don't know. Are we okay? Is the show saved?
Yeah, it's still going.
Okay.
That was like a mega flicker.
You know, I just saw a film tonight where lights going out is indication a giant monster from space is going to attack imminently.
Really?
Yes. So if you don't hear from us, anyone, we've been killed by the monster from Super 8.
How about that?
Yeah.
I better play a fucking song and quick. By the way, everybody, just a follow-up on the French Stallion show today. His phone died. And that's why when I tried to call him back, I got no answer. He actually Facebooked me. I'd already saved and started uploading the show, and he Facebooked me with his cell phone number. So I did not, in fact, run off the French Stallion for good. He'll be back on the show one of these days. All right, let's play a quickie here. And then we shall wrap it up. What haven't we played in a while? I ask that every show, and then I say, Vinny, pick a song, any song. You pick a song, I tell you we can't play that song, and then we wrap it up. So,
let's just wrap it up. They've heard all the songs before.
Who makes good songs? Hoff Hoffy?
Yes, yes.
All right. I love how I just type in Hoff, and Hoff Hoffy comes up. All right, we're going to play one of his little tunes here. My internet's moving slow.
Mine was earlier, too. I'm also at home, so I don't know if that has to do with anything.
All right. Let's play... We haven't played a Satchel-ass song in a while. Let's play Sheik of the Night.
Humble!
Satchel ass.
Iron Sheik.
Break your back.
Sheik you, baby.
Yes.
Gay sex.
Me.
Ten inch cut. Humble.
Last me a luck.
Rose O'Donnell.
Gay. A lot of work went into that, baby.
Indeed, indeed.
David Hoff Hoffy made that song. All right, everybody, we are out of here before the power goes out. So tomorrow, Big Dave Meltzer and Big Dave Batista on the show together. It's going to be a good one. So check it out. We got a lot of other shows coming up as well. I think I got three shows to do tomorrow. Josh Nathan's going to be on. Dave's going to... Actually, anyway. Tomorrow, everybody. Talk to you again after a while.
Bye.